COVID and this whole nonsense they've created is so nonsense to me as a technical engineer, so absurd. My subconscious brain is telling me, Ivy, are you sure this is real? People are wearing masks everywhere. Are you sure you're not hallucinating?
The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everybody. I'm on the road, and I'm just so pleased to be able to talk with Ivor Cummins here today. And we're at the Brownstone Conference. It's amazing. Just heard an amazing talk. And I just can't wait to talk to you. What an amazing talk. And so let's start here. Where were you before COVID? How much was that part of, like, what woke you up?
Well, I was lucky in a sense, Chris. So I had around nearly 30 years in corporate technical problem solving. So I was very well versed in all kinds of data, all branches of science and integrating and, you know, solving issues. But then around 2012, I got poor blood tests. I had three doctors, including a professor of medicine, and they were standard tests that were way out of whack. And they couldn't answer my two key questions to any problem solving team. What are the implications of these crazy values? And what are the root causes I would address that will improve them? And they clearly were not knowledgeable in their own basic blood tests. So I thought, wow, that's impossible because they were good guys, good doctors. There must be something to discover. So a few weeks of research in PubMed and ResearchGate, I had corporate logons. I went through the three blood tests. I had a biochemical engineering degree. And within a week or two, I just created the whole root cause, discovered it was excessive carbohydrate, discovered as well that it was not the fats and the animal fats or the meat or anything we were told was a problem was not the problem. That was the solution. And then I completely switched to a meat, fish and eggs diet with some low starch, low sugar vegetables. And I fixed all blood metrics in a few weeks and lost a lot of weight. So then I realized the whole system was rotten to the core. So I spent 10 years then in metabolic health research, and I got to see the rot in the system. So when COVID came along, to be quite honest, and I can't hardly take credit, I looked up COVID, dug around for what is the impact, and I found the Diamond Princess cruise ship.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I just looked.
Wiped everybody out.
Yeah. So I got seven or eight people in their late 70s and late 80s. None of the 2,000 crew out of 3,700 were even mentioned or affected. I did the math and figured this is a bad flu and forgot about it. In mid-March, my wife said, oh, should we get masks?
Yeah.
Now, she's an engineer as well. And I said, no, it's nonsense. It's like swine flu. So she said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And I told her about the Diamond Princess. And she looked at the numbers and she says, oh. And then she forgot about it until the lockdowns happened. And when the lockdowns happened, I was in the US speaking at a nutrition conference, and I had to change my flights. Trump shut down the airways. They were shutting down Dublin Airport. I think I came back on a Sunday, Monday, the airport was shut. And I just realized something really rotten is going on here, because this is a bad cold. And then I was drawn into COVID, to your question.
Now, Diamond Princess, that was early. I was tracking that time. Was that
like February? Mid-February from memory.
2020 is like one of the first things,
yeah.
Right? And I was waiting for the whole ship to get wiped out. You know? Well, because I felt for it at first, you know, when you had all these people pitching over in the streets and then there were these people shoving their chairs, all from China. Now, I've learned my lesson, right? I
don't trust anything from China.
I'm a quick learner, eventually, you know.
Yeah.
But remember, there were always full of people and all of that, right? And then we come into March, and we have Bergamo, right? Death spikes and pictures of coffins and all of that. How much of that was real? How much of that was just pure bullshit?
It was essentially, I mean, that northern Italy area is the vitamin D black spot of Europe, right? And this is accepted. They have a lot of elderly. They have a lot of air pollution. And it was an area where COVID would be a little bit impactful. But I was pointing out to people at the time, what about southern Italy? Crickets. What about everywhere else? Crickets. Come on. Yep. So I think they used, a lot of the media were using stock footage of coffins and military stuff from many years before. And also, essentially, I think it was taking a slightly problematic situation and it was blowing it so far out of proportion, it was just comical. And I believe that area, Italy, in bad flu years, often has got extra vehicles brought in because it's just the nature of the aged population. So there was nothing really new here at all, but it was the best they had to create an impression that there was something untoward happening. So I dismissed it at the time, and I just thought it was comical. I'm not saying, I know elderly deaths are very sad too. I don't mean it's funny, but it was comical what they were doing with it. But then over time I realized, oh my God, this is propaganda, and it's working. It's working. I mean, Neil Ferguson came out with his like 520,000 deaths in England without lockdowns, and I'm looking in horror. And then Neil Ferguson's work was picked up by, I forget the agency in America, but they basically cloned his data and they scared America. And it was just, it was amazing to watch a real life conspiracy unfolding. And I just really thought, Chris, it's going to collapse under its own nonsensical weight, like swine flu did. Give it time. But of course it didn't. Now, I found out by the end of April, people began to send me stuff I didn't know about, like the World Economic Forum. People said, Ivor, this is bigger than you seem to be saying in your interviews. They sent me a common pass from Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates, summer 2019. Common pass, universal vaccine passport was set up, the company. And this guy sent me, he said, look at the Google search hits for it. And in the middle of 2019, East Coast America and Geneva, there's a huge spike in searches. Then quiet, and then around January, February 2020, the spike again. So it was clear as crystal, preordained. And then I thought, oh wow, they're really going for gold here. But of course, it turned out much bigger than, yeah.
Yeah, well, all right, some basics. Is COVID a real thing?
Ah. Now, that's tricky because you can't be unequivocal on it. I go with the position or the stance that it is gain of function, kind of the bioweapon business stuff, DOD. And it is essentially what people believe it is, but its impact is so small and only on elderly like a flu that it was incredible that they got the result they got, that they did get, that terrified everyone. A lot of people would say there never was even a new virus, that they just took a flu season and gamed it, and that the big spike in deaths was because they came in with lockdowns, and that caused disruption that led to the deaths. On balance, I think it was a real thing, albeit very weak, certainly not effective as a weapon of mass destruction. I mean, it was 0.1% excess death in the whole year 2020 in the UK. This is farcical, average age 82. But I think it was real, but it's possible it was such a psyop that it wasn't even really a thing. But I don't think so.
The UK saw two things about that. First, they said average age of death from COVID was 82, but the average life expectancy was 81. So I'm like, oh, this is actually...
makes you live longer. It's like taking a supplement. Just take your spike protein.
But the second thing was, when you look at the UK in particular, you have Wales, Scotland, Ireland, only two of them had that spike. And of course, they had the midazolam and the morphine spikes.
That is supportive. And Northern Ireland as well just didn't see a spike at all.
None.
And so, yeah, there's
that,
a...
Was that the midazolam murders? That's how I put a piece out.
It
looks caused.
I think I was perceiving at the time that was an enhancer. So that basically you take a very weak virus that's not really giving you much of a bang for the buck, and you have to use propaganda to big it up. And then you can enhance it by making sure you prevent treatments, which they did to enhance the deaths. And the drug in question you mentioned, can also enhance the deaths. And in England as well, they directed that people with significant disabilities were not to be resuscitated if they had an issue and to use that drug. So
they created a guideline, right? Like it's called
163 or something.
Like yeah.
Orwellian.
Pretty sinister stuff. So absolutely, I viewed that as enhancing the death for propaganda purposes. Look, it's possible that it really had no effect, this weak virus, and they just came to flu. It's possible because it was out of season that it's as you described. Now, the only thing is, I was looking at mortality spikes all over the world, and South America is the southern tropical region for coronavirus seasonality. And South America, right on cue during the summer, got its big, long, slow spike. And then myriad other countries in Northern Europe region, which is usually winter, got their spikes in winter, and they were shorter and sharper. So for me, because the actual impact flowing, looking at the whole world, was going perfectly in line with Hope Simpson, Dr. Hope Simpson's seasonal graphs per region of the world, I said, that's going to be really hard to fake. Especially in countries like Peru and Mexico, where it'd be so hard to get them to just fake the numbers to create a graph that you would expect from a coronavirus. So on balance, like you mentioned data supporting the theory, I mentioned some not supporting. If you add it all together, I mean, I'm willing to just assume they did create a viral type problem. And you know, at this stage, does it really matter? They pulled off a scam of the century. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, so I want to get to that. But now, I mean, for what it's worth, Delta was actually kind of a beast because my friends in clinical said this thing roared in and really hurt people. But then Omicron comes out of nowhere. I remember because it's Thanksgiving, right, 2021. I remember it clearly because the next day was Friday, and I read about this thing. And I'm like, oh, no, this sounds terrible. It's got an R-naught of like 30 million, you know.
I remember.
Spread like measles in a unvaccinated daycare, right? And so for the next 2 weeks, I watched hospitalizations drop in South Africa, and I immediately put out to all my followers, I said, it's over.
Yes, right? And you were correct.
It's over. So I think that it's been over since Omicron.
Yes.
But still we're getting the jabs and all that stuff. So I want to turn to this lovely thing you come up with. Is this online? Will I be able to?
Oh, yeah. I've shared many times the PDF and all. People can put it on the fridge.
So this is for my video guy. Barry, we're going to pull this down and talk this through just take us through this. What do we look
okay.
at?
Okay. So this was, I think it was, I was in Dubai last March or April at a conference. I think it was March. And this got me on Dr. Drew, and it got me into Rebel Capitalist Live in Orlando. A lot of people liked it. And it occurred to me, people are always asking me, but where does this gender madness fit in? How does that fit in with the globalist plan? I don't get it. And they ask about climate. They're all talking about climate now. How does that fit in? So it occurred to me, I'll use an engineering tool, a root cause diagram, which simply puts down, obviously, much bigger than this version you'll probably be seeing on the screen. Our root cause diagrams for complex issues get enormous. But this was a simple one because it's not that hard to capture. So top left is COVID-19 program. We know that was a program as part of this globalist great reset. You know, this is going on for 50 years, all these preparations. So COVID gave all these benefits, lockstep authoritarianism, they managed to put in mass formation psychosis. They transferred power to biosecurity state and WHO. It's just shown there. Partner profiteering was a huge thing that people sometimes miss. All of their partners like Big Pharma, Big Tech, that the WEF works with and is linked to all these organizations driving this nonsense, they all get to wet their beak like the mafia. All the families get to wet their beaks. And that means they like these scams and they support them. So that gets a load of extra support. And censorship apparatus, they managed to get in. Unthinkable in 2019 in the West. Everyone broadly accepted it because of the COVID scam. They thought it's justified. So there's all those things, but also weakening society in orange is a huge bonus for every strategy. So all the strategies they're driving all have one common thing. They deliver a weakening of society, which is crucial. You will not get a globalist utopia if you have nation states, strong states with culture, history, and they're intact and they have marriage and they have religion, all of that stuff, those countries will not go along with your...
I want to test you on what this globalist utopia is. And probably the time where Chris did the focus for me, pardon my really terrible New Zealand accent, but it was Jacinda Ardern. She said, until we get everybody on board with climate change, we can't really make any progress. And it's this idea that you have to have everybody on board. And I'm like, listen up, lady. If it's such a great thing, just do it. It'll be better and more awesome, and people will come there willingly.
Yeah.
But she literally said, until everybody is on board, we can't make any progress.
Yeah.
Towards this utopia. Does that fit in here, that theme?
It absolutely fits in, because in all these mass formations, the point I made in my UK shows a couple of weeks ago that I added into my talk says, remember that everything, and we won't go through them all, but the gender undermines society, undermines beliefs and certainties. The climate is complete nonsense science, worse than COVID, really. The CBDC that they want is a huge thing we need to stop. But if you go through them all, mass migration, anti-meat, war on farmers, education, indoctrination of children, all these parallel strategies, the good thing on our side, if you will, is that they're all nonsense. And that's actually something that just hit me.
There's some power in that, right?
Well, it is useful, because imagine they had a whole load of crises that were actually real, and I'd admit were kind of real, but I reckon they're exaggerating them to get global, you know, control.
Well, I can point out some real crises that are, I'm a biologist by training, so
yeah.
Insect apocalypse is very real.
Yeah, but they don't want to talk about that.
They don't talk at the side on your chart, because they don't want to talk about that one, because that's the real deal. And of course, then you have to chase that back to whatever crap.
What caused that? And they don't want to go there.
Pesticides or whatever, you know, some
pesticide, yeah. Some junk, right?
Exactly. But the beauty is they've chosen ones that fit their agenda, and all of them are nonsense. And they're actually, I know the masses largely believe them, which is tragic, but we're working on that. But the beauty is they're so easy to debunk. I mean, okay, most people are going to be hard to convince. That's our headwind. That's our job, to convince. But they're easy technically to debunk. They're nonsensical, which is kind of good. But you had a question on this, though. I'm not sure if it was that.
What is this utopia? So I've been struggling with this, right? Like, what are they, if you could, steel man it, slip into their shoes, what is it that they achieve that isn't just more power and greed for them?
Okay.
What's the vision?
So the vision for them is we need a properly managed world, because we have overpopulation. The people, the masses, clearly are stupid. And we are the ones who are smart. And it behooves us to manage, be stewards. I mean, the WEF says it, that the management, meaning the managerial top class, need to be stewards of the planet and all of its resources. So that's written in the WEF founding documents. So they have told us. The Rockefellers also said that we need to create a new world order in all its dimensions, financial, cultural, spiritual, and another one. So they have told us they need to create a properly managed, in my words, ant farm. But to them, it's the right thing. Because the Rockefellers in the 50s, when they set in motion the WEF and the UN as the new world government, which they're well on their way, they explicitly said that, you know, the people and the politicians are no good to manage the planet, because the politicians only want 5 years. You know, we need to think multi-generational management of the planet and all its resources. Now, it sounds almost like it could be a good idea. The problem is they're lying everywhere, because what they really want, and they won't say, is they want to dominate over their own species. And this is something I've explained to people so many times. When sociopathic type, narcissistic, elite type people, yeah, and there's a lot of them, when they band together and they want more money, at some point they have enough money. Like Rockefeller, richest family in America in the 50s, they didn't need money. They had the vision John D., their sociopathic father, handed to them. Internationalism that would be run by the elites. That was the vision for the five Rockefeller brothers, and by God, they are well on their way to delivering it. When they have more money than you can ever need, there's only one other thing, power. And power is about having dominance over your own species. That's the only thing that's above. If you're already elite with billions of dollars, yachts and jets, what's going to get you up in the morning?
Right.
To dominate.
You can't get around your other billionaire friends and go, look at my Piaget watch, right? Nobody cares. But you're like,
no one cares.
Did you see the death threats in Bergamo?
Yeah. Did you see that Iraq war there? We bought? Oh, remember the planes? Oh, that was our guys. That was our guys. Well, not me personally, but you know, it's our guys, you know, the State Department. But this is it. Yeah. They are masters. And my talk, I called it the grand chess game, because this is all in our face. It's geopolitics. Mm-hmm. It's a fort turning, like Neil Howe's book. And there's nothing conspiracy theorist about this. We just have a challenge that the bad, bad, filthy cream has risen several generations since World War II and now has quietly, with ownership of media, put us on a path to totalitarian system. But the good thing is, Chris, as we talked about today, the awareness is growing pretty fast. That's why they're racing to censors, racing for hate speech, because they know the awareness is growing. And if awareness grows enough to around 20% of people largely grasping this, they're going to have a mess on their hands because they are not ready to bring in a jackboot army yet. So they don't have a solution to 20 or 25% of people really bringing this up in the pub, bringing it up with their politician, talking about it. It gets beyond the censorship. It gets out of hand. They are worried.
Well, they only have like 3% booster uptake.
Exactly.
And I love how Joe Rogan, but he's in, you know, before COVID, I wasn't anti-vax. After COVID, I'm not sure we landed on the moon.
That is it. Now, the funny thing, Chris, on that, yeah, that is beautiful.
And I wasn't anti-vax. I probably leaned neutral positive. Mm. Right? And I had a tons of medical training, right? PhD, pathology, all that.
Yeah.
But
after, I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
No, nothing is going in this arm anymore. Full stop.
Exactly. And with my 10 years of, you know, investigating statins and all these other modalities and drugs, yeah, I began to wonder about the V word. But I just said to myself, I knew you weren't allowed go there. I could see the power of the propaganda, the religion, but I knew it was created over decades. So I often said the anti-V term was like, you know, a baby that they grew and grew, and now it was a huge, strapping young man ready to box anyone.
Yeah,
and I could see that.
Conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, to just smash you. So I didn't get into it, but when I did briefly get into it, I realized early on, someone actually sent me Turtles All the Way Down, the book.
Yes, yes.
And to me, my fundamental creed is all my engineering career, nothing to do with medical, the control, the placebo, the design of experiments, DOE, is everything. No control, no placebo, no science. And I mean that. Associational studies, you can do all you want. They're interesting. But without a controlled experiment with a placebo, there is no proof, no science. And I found out that the vaccine industry got rid of the placebo at the start. And to be honest, that kind of answers the question.
Yeah. I'll soften that a bit for me. I'm okay with observational if there's tight temporal association.
It's better if it is, but to be honest, for me, all you do is then go in, no matter how strong or weak it is, or very strong, I've seen again and again my whole career, even when all the planets line up and we have been convinced, we do an experiment, control it, and to our shock, it ain't so. And well, then you go back.
I'm okay with that. Mm. Yeah, but here's what I mean. It's like the number of parents who say, oh, my child's onset of autism happened the week prior to the well baby visit versus the week after when they got their jabs. Mm. It's like zero to all of them. You know, it's like,
that issue. Yeah. Right? So the autism thing. Yeah. I was just talking in general about the supposed benefit. There's no science because there's no placebo. But the harm. Okay, that's another thing altogether. I haven't really delved into it, but anything that triggers the immune system powerfully, especially when very young, is going to have harm. I'm not sure what they are, but I know they're going to be myriad. They're going to be different for different people. You're basically introducing a mess for a small proportion of people who take it. That's a given. The only question is, how big is the mess? How bad is the mess?
All right. I got to get back to this ticking clock, though. So you think a part of it is that they notice that we're waking up, so they're in a little bit of a panic.
Yeah,
I like that. We're going to win. Mm. Is there anything else that could be a ticking clock here for you? And my frame is I study resources, and we are scraping the bottom of the barrel. So many dimensions, species. This idea that we'll literally go from 8.5 to 12 billion and carry on. It's just the resources aren't there for that as configured.
Yeah, they are. Well, they went on about peak oil 50 years ago, and it turned out that that was silly. And I think in general, new technologies will be found, like the fracking and all, released enormous new energy. I think new technologies will be found, and I think the supplies, though, albeit harder to get to, over time, you know, technology will help with the problem. But yeah, we got an issue. We should be scaling back in resources. Now, the 8 billion, I'm not sure what the projections are. Europe and the West, the birth rates are falling below replacement. So I guess the main issue is other countries.
It's mostly Africa. And
yeah, but they're using bugger all resources anyway. Now, the problem is these guys, under mass migration, want to flood our zone with people from Africa. So again, always, these...
Well, you got to love the incoherence of it all, right? We're going to solve climate change by bringing people from low-consumption countries
to high-consumption. I know. But this is the thing. All of their so-called crises are nonsense. But then they're also, any crisis there is in any of these arenas, they are creating them. So the wars, the disruption, mass migration from low resource to high resource, they're going to create, with an anti-meat propaganda and war on farmers, they're going to create huge sickness. And that requires more resources. You know, this big, big drain, petrochemicals going into the medical industry, it's a big deal. So they are creating the issues that they tell us they are going to solve by us becoming slaves.
Well, I've been struggling with this with my community for a while. We're wondering what the ticking clock is, because we feel it. They're getting more and more reckless as they just...
BRICS. So the rise of the BRICS countries and the BRICS Plus and Russia.
In a month from now, big meeting coming up.
That is a big problem, and they've kept the East, and, like, you know, through all the proxy wars of the State Department, Syria and Iraq and Libya, they've kept that powder keg under control and completely on their knees. But that ain't going to last forever, especially with BRICS Plus rising. So they're trying to destroy Russia and, of course, strip mine it like they did in the 90s.
That's the program?
Oh, I'd say, yeah. I mean, it's almost self-evident. They want to destroy Russia. All this anti-Russian, anti-Putin stuff. Putin got Clinton way back 15 years ago. And he said, look, and he was serious about it. Can we join NATO? Because we don't need this crap with you and with the American, you know, global cop. We just don't need this crap, because we're doing okay. Just leave us alone. Or can we join? And Clinton got a surprise, and he went and checked, what do we do about this? And they said, no, F off.
No.
So he just went back and said, no, you're our chosen enemy. You got massive resources, and we are going to, at some point, collapse Russia, just like Venezuela, Chile, all the South American countries. We're going to collapse you, and then we're going to put in a base or two, and then we're going to bring in Halliburton and bring in the oil companies and strip mine your country. I mean, that's self-evident. But all the poor idiots in the West believe the mass media nonsense that somehow Putin's going to invade the rest of Europe. I mean, what the hell would he do? Like, it's just absurd. Putin blew up his own pipeline. How stupid do you think we are? Well, the answer is 50-60%, pretty damn stupid, unfortunately. It's sad.
So,
not your listeners, though, or my listeners.
No. Nobody here. But... So what just happened on Wednesday of this past week that we're talking about was, Saturday, Putin had said, bright red line, if you put these NATO missiles up our ass, we will consider that an act of war, and we'll be at war. And then he sent his emissary and went to the UN, repeated the same message on Sunday. And then on Wednesday, these 350 miles over the Ukrainian border, a major arms depot in Toropets, torched off, right?
Yeah.
And it works a lot. Like, we said, we have a bright red line. And so I get the sense somebody I didn't vote for any of them, but somebody is pushing to get into a war with Russia.
A land war, yeah.
A land war.
If this is something somebody wants, I'm not sure they thought through all the implications of it. Have my doubts.
Yeah, kinetic war. No, they do. Alex Craner, I interviewed in Dubai, and in 2017 or 18, he's a hedge fund manager in Monaco. I think he's under Naked Hedgy, at Naked Hedgy on Twitter. Great guy. Huge student of Russian history and all. He's Croatian. He was involved in the war, Serbia, Croatia. And he was hearing from top hedge fund people that they were gunning for a war with Russia. They were literally salivating, this is back in 1718, for a war with Russia so they could smash Russia and get all the money and resources. And it worried him so much because he said that means Third World War potentially. He was so concerned, he researched the whole thing about Russia and the West going back 100 years, wrote a book. And he explained how Russia actually used to be an ally of the West and the Americans, it supported them against the British imperialists. So the Americans were supported by Russian warships 100 years ago, whatever. And then they became the Cold War enemy. And when the Cold War ended, they still had to be an enemy and they're stuffed for resources. It's as simple as that. So a campaign, he says, since around 2000 especially, all the media all the time are vilifying Russia and vilifying Putin. That's all propaganda. He is a strong man. He's a hard man. I'm sure he's done nasty things. But what have the CIA done over 50 years?
Wasn't Obama, they called him the assassin-in-chief because he killed 4,000
exactly.
people? 4,000 by drone strike. They're like, later, they're like, about maybe 90% of them weren't exactly combatants.
Exactly, Chris. And the other, Alex was saying, he fully researched the several people the media in the West loved to say Putin had killed. And he said none of them check out properly for him. In fact, one of them, a lady, her own family said it was Chechenian mafia because she was covering the Chechenian situation. And they said, of course it wasn't Russia, the own family. But in the West, she was a victim of Putin. So again, it's like COVID. It's all propaganda.
Hmm? I actually read a radiological report.
Oh, that was a nasty one. Yeah, he died over a few weeks.
Yeah, unfortunately, that batch of polonium most closely aligns with the Dimona reactor, a Russian source.
I didn't know that, but it wouldn't surprise me. That was a good while back, wasn't it? Yeah. That was 12, 13 years ago.
That's like one guy. I'm talking Obama killed more than 3,000 innocent people with the drone. That's just what we know about.
Yeah, well, look, the perfect one for me is when people think that our lot up top aren't rotten and don't give a damn about women and children, I always say, okay, I'll give you an example that was fully documented and accepted in mainstream some years back. We know the Iraq war was a conspiracy and a scam. Colin Powell with the test tube in the United Nations, come on. The media back then covered it. It was a scam. I was astonished. I said, no one seems to be angry enough. They were very angry about Blair and Bush, but not angry enough. BBC covered that, and their best estimate was 480,000 men, women, and children died as a result of that scam. And that scam, we knew, was for oil and bases. So Tony Blair and Bush and the whole system behind that fake war invading Iraq. Of course, but the other thing is even worse than that. They knowingly killed 500,000 people and slept like babies. We know they did. And now you think they wouldn't pull a COVID thing when it's going to give them huge money and power? Why not? And the person can't answer.
Yep.
They can't answer because they feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn about women and children and even their own civilians, never mind people in other countries, which they actually have contempt for, clearly.
I think this is one of the worst thoughts somebody can have is, oh, they wouldn't do that.
Right.
The naivety, the gullibility is, I agree, astonishing.
They wouldn't go beyond. So I researched this thing called The Great Taking. David Rogers Webb talks about how the legal code has been massaged over time such that yet under certain circumstances, they pull the plug and like all of our portfolios evaporated into a BlackRock hole.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
Anyway, so it's a thing, but the number one thing I get from people is like, they would never do that.
Well,
the right guy the challenge that way.
Well, yeah, I met David Webb, a lovely man, a very humanitarian man. You can tell his story, his father and all his huge experience in hedge fund and everything. But anyway, I met him in Sweden at a Freedom Conference, and he was on at 10 p.m. the first evening. My wife was there, and I thought, oh, who's this guy at 10 p.m.? Like, you know, I'm tired. But I stayed for it. Within 3 minutes, I was transfixed. And the reason is I'm a massive data guy and proof guy and reference guy. So I looked, and in the first 3 minutes, he was showing me actual Department of Justice and trade, U.S. trade, whatever department documents. And I realized what he's saying is unbelievable. But he's got the references, and I kind of knew they were real. I could check them later. I knew they were real.
I checked every reference.
Of course.
Even deeper, and it's all real.
It's all real.
It's all there.
So the big thing about it is, yes, it's as you described. Yes, if there's an implosion in the ridiculous quadrillion derivatives market, they have spent 50 years. The people who started are dead. You know, the next generation have taken her over. This amount of effort they have done, all 50 states, all European countries, they changed all the legality and code so they could pull the whole rug. And even Sweden, 2016, Sweden, I think, and Norway, the last two countries whose constitution stopped it, and they set up a shell company in Belgium, and they got it signed off by the Swedish king, I think, to create a workaround so they get every single country, like the vaccine, everyone, like the climate, everyone. Yep. So they did all this work. But they'll never use it.
Oh, no, they've installed the trigger. They just never...
They never pulled it. Now, some people thought, look, they won't use it because it'll cause a massive rebellion. And I agree with that, but we got an irresistible force and an immovable object. Yes, they couldn't do it because there'd be a rebellion across the world. People would go crazy if they got all their asses taken. However, they did spend 60 or 70 years, massive work, to get every single country done. So which is true? I think it's a backstop for an emergency that they have in their hand. But they wouldn't just blithely walk in and trigger it because it would cause a mess. But I think they still like having it.
So when I slip into fantasy dystopian screenplay mode, the plot twist I have in my mind is... They've gotten us all used to this idea that process is punishment. Like, oh God, lawyers and time, and it's very, very hard. Mm. It's very hard, but massive crash. Oh no, your whole portfolio has been wiped up. Good news, beneficent central bank has decided they'll make you whole today in central bank digital currency. So your whole 500,000 quid, here they are today. Or you can try and wait it out and see if you can get your stocks back, but a little uncertain.
You might get 5 cents on the dollar. Jeez, it's a mess. So not our fault.
Okay. And the next thing you know is like people are sort of mollified because they got their money back, but control has now entirely transferred from me.
That's a third way, Chris. That's a third way, I think. So we have our two that you can't reconcile. A third way is to threaten the collapse of the derivatives and say, look, you could be looking at 5 cents on the dollar because this is the law and this is the way it is. However, of course, we don't want to do that to you. So we got our magic tokens. And you're all familiarized now with Bitcoins. You're all used to this. So you're all nice and acclimatized to digital money. So look, it's not a big deal.
It has COVID on it.
Yeah, you know. You might sneeze or something. So
molesters use it, terrorists.
Exactly. And, you know, why would you want to be involved with dirty stuff like that when you could become a slave in our ant farm? Easy choice, right?
But you don't want to be a low slave. You want to be the top ant, you know?
Oh, yeah, like the Soviet system. You want to crawl your way up and get close to the party because there's the ruling party and then there's apparatchiks. You know, the public servants be looked after. The professor class and managerial class in corporates will be kind of looked after. It's only the peons, the working class, that'll be crushed under the foot.
So how do you evade this in your own way, your life?
Well, generally, my kind of role now is to counter a true awareness. So I tell the Jacob Nordengard story, the Rockefeller story, you know, this. I try and get awareness with normies. I don't want to win over people who already know the world is rotten like we do. But I'm always saying, how can I reach normies? And I have an idea. If I start talking politics, geopolitics, like we used to, 30, 40 years ago, people were interested in politics, wondering what was going on, wanted to make sure their interests were served. That's gone. They managed to hypnotize us to just ignore all that. I think if you tell people how the world works and everything's fully referenced and fully documented in UN Rockefeller archives, and you don't scare off a normie with like kind of chemtrails, but you just bring them into Kissinger, you know, and UN, and it's an interesting story, you might draw them in. And by the time they get to the end of 40 minutes of a story and they end up right up to 2020 and COVID, and you realize it's all part of the same story, they suddenly realize they're hard. Damn, the conspiracy theorists were right. And it's just geopolitics. It's just very high-level political chicanery. There's no magic sauce. There's no aliens. It's just the way the world has always worked.
I just started reading the Bible as a 60-year-old.
Wow.
It's a page turn. I'm like, we've done this before.
Yeah, yeah. There's amazing stuff in there. And the Bible has a lot of wisdom. I'm not religious. I don't have religion. But I often quote, ironically, from the Bible because of the wisdom of the lessons. Like, I mean, I've even used, give unto Caesar what is Caesar. When someone says, yeah, but Ivor, are you going to support that? Yeah. And he said this. And I use that, like. Yeah. I say, look, sometimes you just got to play it carefully. And
well, I have one idea that sort of gelled in it, in part through reading the Bible. And again, not religious, but I'm becoming more spiritual because evil good is starting to, it's a very convenient mobile. I can hang a lot of events off of that framing.
And it's very attractive to people who are religious and spiritual, and we need to convert as many of them as possible. So speaking that language, it just fits, like I said, and also it can help access a huge number of people to the truth.
So the thing that's popped up to me is this idea that there's really two broad classes of people. You go to a Trump rally, and I'm going to call these are people who have to live in the world of reality. Mm. Wake up at 3 a.m, bread needs kneading, trucks need driving, the field need tending.
Yeah.
These are people who have to, mostly you look at his audiences to project a little, these are people who have to deal with life, right?
Yeah.
They still have dirt under their fingernails more often than not, right? And then you got the other side, and these are abstractionists, right? And they live in the world abstract. What I've learned, and it's in the Bible too, what I've learned personally is you give humans one layer of abstraction, it's enough for them to do all kinds of mischief.
Ah, yes, yes,
so
I like
you
it.
You wouldn't personally pour poison into a child's cereal bowl, but if you're a PG&E engineer and you're pumping it down a well, it's a little, like, I don't know what happened, right? That one layer of abstraction, sufficient, right?
Mm.
So
to get the banality of evil going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm a hard money, I'm talking about, circle this up, but, and then we can end, but our money is an abstraction.
Oh, yeah.
And it just lives in this abstract world.
Mm.
And people fight over it. And then you flip open the Bible and it says, right there, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says, for the love of money.
Ah, yes.
Now, that's your relationship to it. It's not, money itself is neutral. It's a medium of exchange.
It's a tool.
It's a thing.
For the love of.
Yeah.
Well, when we fall in love with an abstraction, all kinds of mischief just magically arise. So I'm still here.
Yeah, and of course, love of power, because there's two things that drive the bad guys, money and power. And power is, again, it's not a real thing, but it's a concept. Yeah. So that would fit that rule you described there as well. Oh, I'd agree totally. And the Bible is full of stuff. I've actually been quoting stuff from the Bible more since 2020 than ever before. And another thing is, I have used the word nonsense 50 times more than I've ever used since 2020. You know, these are the things. And since 2020, for at least a year since COVID started, I've had a moment or two a day where for a moment, I think this can't be real. And I have to almost a pinch yourself moment. And that usually that lasts a few days when some new scenario comes up that you just say, this is nuts. And it wears off. COVID and this whole nonsense they've created is so nonsense to me as a technical engineer, so absurd. My subconscious brain is telling me, Ivy, are you sure this is real? People are wearing masks everywhere. Are you sure you're not hallucinating? How the hell can they be wearing masks in the summer in Northern Europe when the hospitals are empty and there's no viruses around?
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
So what they've created is so ridiculous to a rational thinker. You're looking at the theater of the absurd.
It's incoherent.
It's incoherent. It's completely illogical. It's nothing.
Itself.
It does.
Oh, you know how we combat racism? We separate people by skin color.
Or even better, we're going to foment tension between races and create a racist kind of fantasy where none exists. We're going to go in and goad people. Oh, so gays got their marriage and all the prejudice against gay and lesbian that was bad in the 70s, maybe in 80s, that all got fixed. Gays all got marriage. It was all fixed.
Yeah.
So let's go in and create tension, distrust, and really try and disrupt society and make them all wonder what the hell is going on with all this trans stuff. Do you see what they're doing? They are creating the things they say they're fixing, which is quite clever.
Yep.
Who is it who said, always accuse your enemy of what you yourself are doing? Mm-hmm. They do it all the time.
All the time. It's the main tactic, right? Barbo, right, deny, attack, reverse victim offender.
Exactly. And the big lie.
Yes.
The big lie.
The bigger the better.
The bigger the lie, ordinary people just say, I don't know. Because if the lie is kind of...
Goebbels thing, right? But
Goebbels.
Just like...
Ah, Desmond, beautiful stuff. I love the interviews I did with him.
His four things, you know, the free-floating anxiety.
Oh, yes.
The ritualistic sacrifice, you know.
That's it.
And sacrificing your own children to...
Oh, yeah. No, that was beautiful. I remember, actually, when I interviewed him first, I actually put animation on the screen of those four items, and then, after you trigger it, the two sustaining items, self-fulfilling. It's amazing stuff. And I thought, I called it the most important interview I've ever done at the time.
That one shifted me.
Yeah, that one...
Shifted my thinking.
Well, for me, it was as well. So many people said, but how are people falling for it? And it was causing millions of people stress, not believing that people could go mad. But Desmond explained it's scientific. We understand it.
Yeah.
And he explained it all. So that was a huge relief for people who had fallen out with their friends and family, and they just couldn't understand. And the other then became my most important was Nordengird's work. So after that, because Nordengird answered Dr. Jakob Nordengird. Oh, I thought you might have interviewed him. I'll connect you to him. Jakob did a PhD on the Rockefellers. He then wrote the book Rockefeller Controlling the Game.
It
goes from the 1800s Rockefeller, but in the 50s with the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and the creation of the Harvard Seminar, and they brought in Kissinger, and then they brought in Schwab, and they basically grew the UN, and they work with CIA and State Department, so it's not just Rockefellers, they're all together with the bad boys. But that story runs right up to COVID. And once you read that story or interview, and he'll tell it, or I give it in my talks, once a normie sees that story and realizes every single bit of it resonates, and he knows Kissinger, and he knows the oil crisis in 73. In other words, a normie is drawn into what's clearly a historically accurate, you know, record. But the problem is, near the end, they begin to say, oh, and they begin to realize COVID is part of this story. I just didn't know it. But after the end, they realized we were scammed. I mean, there's no question about it. We were scammed. Yeah.
Well, I'm at the stage. I don't know what is a scam anymore. So I'm experiencing what Gret calls the Cartesian crisis, which is I don't know what to trust anymore. I run into a lot now, right? So I'm going back to first principles on a lot of things.
Well, that's what you do. My phrase for 20 years in leadership and problem solving was, show me the data. And it was just my stock phrase people used to say it about. At the end of the day, I go in, I'm called in, there's a lot of money being lost, the team is not getting the solution, so I'm pulled out of my manager role to go hands-on, to lead the team. And you got to be careful diplomatically, because people don't want someone to come in and then quickly get some resolution. It's very embarrassing. But I'd always go in and ask all the team members, you know, show me the data, just, you know, and your theories, I will listen to your theories. I'm not ignoring them. But I really need to see the data, because theories are theories, and I need to create my own, as well as taking account of yours. So you're absolutely right. On any item, you need to go to the raw data. Nearly everything we're told in mainstream about any issue of importance, especially ones that it's being claimed affect us and need to be resolved with authorities, global authorities, they're all scams. You know Nick Hudson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Hudson did that perfect heuristic. He said, if it is claimed that there is a global issue of huge importance and that only a global authority can fix it, not locally, and it will require new rules and restrictions and the added bit is, and there's an element of suppressing dissent. He said, without looking at a single piece of data, you know that it's a scam. And he's right. There's no exception. That simple set of rules.
Yeah.
I don't know a single exception to that. He is correct. You know it's a scam without having to do any work. Don't get better than that.
Well, that's fantastic. Okay. I hear dinner happening over here.
Oh, yeah. It's getting loud.
I'm hungry. Where can people follow you and track your work?
Well, at Fat Emperor on Twitter. I think it's Ivor Cummins on Facebook. I've been kicked off LinkedIn again, but YouTube, Ivor Cummins. And funny enough, if you just search engine my name, you'll get all those places for the moment in the search engine.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much.
Great stuff. Great to meet you here in person.
Likewise. Delighted. Likewise. Well, thank you, everybody. And I hope you enjoyed this, and we'll be back with more.